Your eloquence, Jim, is intimidating. Back in Burlington, Iowa, where I served for 9 years, I had a dear friend by the name of Helen. And Helen was a retired English teacher. And she was one of those great servants of the church who was gracious enough to come in and proofread all of our church publications before they were mailed. She was constantly reminding me about the improper use of a preposition at the end of a sentence. Well, but my favorite way to tease Helen in retaliation was to begin our Monday morning Bible study group with the question, "Hey Helen, where are we at?" Well, this morning, for emphasis, I'm going to step a little bit out of line and use some improper English sentence structure to ask, as a church, where are we at? It is as good a way as any to get into what I want to speak to you about today, and that is the issue of stewardship. In New York City, if you remember, in the 1980s, Mayor Koch used to begin all of his press conferences with the now infamous line, "How am I doing?" This would work for us this morning. How are we doing? There is an immediate reason at hand for us to ask this question today. For we find ourselves in the midst of the stewardship campaign, where we may ask each of you to make a financial pledge to the church for the coming year. It's a good time to ask pertinent questions about how and where and why we as a congregation are doing and where we're going at this moment in time and in our history. A congregation is a community of faith in which people have made a covenant with God and with each other. In some ways, we are like a family, except that here we have the unique opportunity to learn how to live with people that we didn't choose, but are given to us by the grace of God. Our fidelity and faithfulness to those we're stuck with is a powerful reminder to us of the faithfulness of God, a God who sticks with us no matter what happens in our lives. Paul reminded the Corinth congregation of such faithfulness in our reading today, as he urged the people to agree with each other and pleaded that there be no dissension among them, but that they be united in the same mind and the same judgment for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's good to remember his words today. Not because we want everyone to agree on everything. In this congregation, that would be tragic. There is, however, a unity in our diversity here at First Church. Paul's words serve as a reminder to us of what is most important to any congregation's existence and identity. To remember that we are the manifestation of the body of Christ on earth. We can be different in our backgrounds. We can be different in our upbringing. We have different reasons here for coming to church. And we possess a variety of beliefs and theologies. But in Paul's words, we all belong to Christ. When we remember who we are, then anything can happen here. When we are gathered as the body of Christ, something is at work here that is not of our own making. Miracles can and do happen. 2 and 2 can equal 5, and forgiveness and acceptance can be felt. The Spirit of God can hover among us with sighs too deep for words. Laughter can be heard in the hallways, and hope can be expressed and experienced in invisible and tangible ways. Within this body, sorrow and grief can be carried for one another, And in this body, it can be even transformed into joy. There is in this church a passion for justice and the human instinct for peace that can be expressed and multiplied when a community truly lives out a love for God and that commitment to be the body of Christ. I know of no other human experience that is as gratifying and as whole-making as when people are truly committed to living as Christ's body in human community. At our best, with our deepest desires, and even at our worst, this is what we're attempting to do here at First Church. And it is with this deep conviction of our love for God and our desire to be the body of Christ that I turn our attention toward our pledges for 2015. And if you've already turned in your pledge card and my words so stir you to increase the amount you wrote down, let me assure you that Chip Smith will be waiting in the hallway to help you. For those of you who are visiting with us today, think of this as a family get-together. Think of it as a family figuring out what they can afford to do for the next year. In this family, we wish to maintain much of what we have done in the past. But at the same time, we have a deep desire to vision and to dream for the future. This is good news. Because I believe that we are a church that can participate in this new world that is surrounding us, rather than merely holding on to past or present glories. When you really look at it, our pledges represent our hopes. They represent our dreams. I believe this is going to be an exciting year. It is a time that we have to dare to step out and take a few risks. A gentleman by the name of Lyle Shallard was a nationally renowned consultant for churches. And he has written that the congregations who are not only surviving but thriving are those who are willing to take risks. Those who are willing to be open to innovation and creativity and new ideas and change. He calls upon congregations to remember that tomorrow will not be a carbon copy of yesterday. And so we, as intelligent Christians, must design new ministries to reach out, to create new communities within our church family. I believe that this year is one where we have to have a willingness to dream for a new time. There are many challenges that lie before us in the coming years that are not new. They're ones that have been a part of our ministry for years and years and years. The first and maybe the most important thing is our emphasis on Christian education and youth. With the challenges of this changing world, we need to invest our time and our resources in passing along the Christian faith to a new generation. We need to do it in new and exciting ways. After spending last weekend with our covenant class and listening to these five young people and their hopes and desires for the future, we would be really, really poor if we did not address their hunger. The second challenge is the care and the use of this wonderful facility. We're called to care for this gift that we have given so our church can continue to be a center of this community. It is so gratifying to me to walk around this building in the late afternoon or in the early evenings and see the flurry of activities that are taking place here. We reach out to the community through help and support groups like AA and Debtors Anonymous. I could list here for 5 minutes or more all the different groups that we reach out to. by allowing these groups of all ages to meet here in a safe and a wholesome environment. Our facility can continue to be a means of ministry as we reach out to our community. The third challenge is a little less definable, and that is to build our relationships. Our relationship with God through worship and study, and our relationship with each other through groups, both large and small. Now is the time for this church to take some risks and invest in the future. We're engaged in a challenging time that threatens the church's very existence in this country. And there comes a time in the life of every organization, including the church, when bold steps and taking those bold steps is an investment for the future. I believe that we have arrived at this juncture in our life together. But you know, personally, I have hope for the future of this church. I pray that the pledges we make will reflect a confident desire to step out in faith, trying new directions and investing in building a future for our children. And I hope deeply that you will invest in that hope too. I believe, as did the Apostle Paul, that the church is a unique community. The gospel of love and the life of Christ can come alive here. When the church endeavors to carry out the work of the Spirit, it is the body of Christ which is expressed. The work of the Spirit is taking place in this community of faith. And together we need to find deep joy in our living and profound hope for our future. The great theologian Philip Brooks has affirmed that the ever-living Christ is the never-dying church. This is an astounding claim, and today we have a real challenge and a call to respond to that ever-living God in this never-dying church. I have great hope for this year. Amen.